Well, good evening, everybody, and what a blessing it is to see all of you here this evening. And it's a great time that we come to gather to give thanks to our Lord, to our Creator, and to the one who has saved us and redeemed us. And so we're going to open up this evening with number 18, Now Thank We All Our God. We'll sing the first and the last. Give us our opening prayer. Fell asleep on the
All right, let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come before you tonight, Lord, because we are thankful. We're so thankful for many things, Lord. Most of all, we thank you for our salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, for your Son who gave his life and shed his blood, broke his body, Lord, for us, Lord. And it wasn't just the physical act, but taking on all our sins, Lord. We look at our lives and we look at how imperfect we are and how often we fail and how often we just take you for granted and that we go out our own way, Lord. But you and your mercy, Lord, you always work in our hearts and you gave us the conscience, Lord, to turn us back to you. And you gave us your word, Lord, to give us wisdom and to give us hope and to give us joy. And we are thankful, Lord. We look at the world and how empty it is without you, Lord. And sometimes we do not understand how people live without hope, without faith, Lord. And we know this gift, this precious gift, just comes from you, Lord. And so just help us, Lord, to praise you tonight and help us, Lord, to reinforce you in our lives. Lord, help us to just be thankful, Lord. We all have family that we're all going to be getting together with tomorrow and this weekend. We all have friends. Lord, may we just be testimony. Just help us to be a light, Lord, for the family that we have that are not believers. And Lord, so just encourage us in this area, Lord. And we just thank you for our church, Lord, and for the warmth and the love that you have put here, Lord. And just thank you, Lord, so much, Lord, for everything that you do for us. And for these things, we do praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
So as the Bethel choir comes up, it's just always and this is a great time of year that God has given to us to remember how he has blessed us, and that in everything that we are to give him thanks and to honor him. So interspersed through this evening special event, we're going to have some special comments from people on thankfulness and on what the Lord has done with them and how the Lord has been able to encourage them. And so we're going to have a bit of a message from Wayne this evening. First.
Thank you very much, Greg, for inviting me to speak tonight. And it's such an honor to come and speak anytime that we have an opportunity to speak for the Lord. and I only found a 60-sheet page. I was looking for 100, but
I got a couple of them.
But I only chose to do one. Don't be scared. Don't be scared. Now that we've all gathered together here to give thanks to the Indians, as you probably know, that's what's being taught in a lot of our schools today. You know, it's the Indians we should give thanks to, but who should we give thanks to?
God.
Exactly right. You got it right. So here, just like the pilgrims, they also trusted in God to get them across the ocean to get to this land. And you know, my topic tonight, I only have about 5 minutes, so I'm going to speak about a minute and a half, and then I'm going to let you listen to a little song that I think even sums it up better than I do.
Are you going to sing with me?
Well, actually, I thought I could sing myself, but I think these people can do a much better job, and you. But the text that I chose tonight, it's one verse in Psalm chapter 9 and verse 10, and that's in trusting the Lord. In Psalms chapter 9 and verse 10. And what it says there, it says, "And those who know your name will put their trust in you, for you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you." And that's very important to know the name of the one that we can put our trust in, the Lord Jesus Christ, because He's done everything for us all the days of our life. And that's why tonight we know that Jesus, He will never forsake us. Those of us who put our trust in Him, therefore I will praise the Lord and I will give thanks to the Lord always, because I can put my total trust in Him. Because a lot of times the Bible says, don't put your trust in man, but put your trust in Him. Because He's in the past delivered me from many, many trials. We don't have the time to go into them all. But as you know, in your life, you're here today for one reason. Because He has delivered you out of all your trials, Chris. And not only has He delivered us in the past, He is delivering us today. And He will also deliver us from our trials and tribulations in the future to come. And then one day, unless He comes back, He's going to take us to heaven with Him. And there He's going to take care of us for eternity. So let us continually to let Jesus put songs of deliverance in our hearts when we're in trials and tribulations, so that we can draw close to Him, because we can put our trust in Him, because He commands us to believe on Him and to trust in Him. And at this time, I would just like to sum it all up. My Ralph, if you would like to play the song for us, I'll sit down. And I would just like to say that I have come to put my trust in the Lord since He saved me. And that's what we should all do, because that's why He's here to help us in all of our trials and temptations.
About 4 minutes long.
Songs of deliverance.
Thank you very much, Wayne, for there really is no one else that we can trust in. And if we do not put our trust in the Lord, then we're putting it in to something that will fail us and that will destroy us. We're going to continue with the song of praise. We're going to turn to number 370 in the hymn books. Again, we'll sing the first and the last, and we'll see if I can not mess up the numbers again. Count your blessings. Some more words of testimony, words of praise to our Lord and Savior as Joby comes to bring us a message from him.
All right. Count your many blessings. That's truly something that I know we're doing this year because we take things for granted that life goes on and things are always going to be right. But this year was kind of a different year for us. And I wanted to share some of the things I'm thankful for just as a precursor to what really happened. And first thing is, in Hebrews 13:4, marriage is honorable in all. And so to me, that was the verse because this is the year that my mom and dad celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary. So we're really thankful for that. They're healthy. They're in the Philippines now. I know they wish they could be here, but that's something our family is very thankful for. The second thing is Dana's, we're in our family, Dana's aunts, a couple of Dana's aunts, our cousin, and then her mom and her grandpa Tom, who've been here almost every week, are learning about the Lord, and they're growing in faith in the Lord. And to see that happening in your family where there was no God before, that's something that we're really thankful for. And Luke 15:30, it says, "Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." And every single one in our families, I mean, they're not everyone in our family is saved, but as God, the Lord adds, it's just a huge blessing to us because now we have fellowship with them in a way we've never had before. And Dana can attest to that. She's able to talk about the things that matter with her aunties, and it's just a huge blessing. Another thing that happened to me this year was I was diagnosed with hardening of arteries. They told me I had hardening of arteries. And I went through several weeks of praying and soul searching, like, what should I stop eating? How come I haven't been riding my bike? You know, am I using too much soy sauce? And I prayed and prayed, and the doctors put me on all kinds of medication. And I went in for my ultrasound one day, and the technician sat me down. She said, "This is going to take about an hour. I don't want you to talk. Don't say a word. Don't move." And she did the ultrasounds of my carotid arteries. So I had nothing else to do but sit there and pray. And I prayed. I said, "Lord, it's in your hands, whatever's going to happen. But I just pray that I'm going to come out of this with a direction, whether it's for my health or how my lifestyle, but just give me health." And when all is said and done, she left, and I looked at the monitor, and I saw all these percentages, and I thought, okay, so that means 80% blockage, 20% blockage. What does that mean? And so she goes, "Okay, you're done. You can go home." And she left the room, and she came back 10 minutes later. She goes, before she sent me home, she left the room like she had this concerned look on her face, and she left and came back, and she said, "You can go." I go, "What does that mean?" So when I got home, my doctor had emailed me my report, and perfectly nothing wrong with my arteries. So praise the Lord. You know, I was like, you know, what is he doing? What is he teaching me? He's teaching me to rely upon him. And so, you know, the verse I had there is 3 John 1, verse 2 and 4. "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." And so I think it taught me a lesson that I need to be walking in truth. I need to be trusting in him for all things all the time and not just when I need him. Right? So that's always a temptation, is to only trust him when things are out of my control. But when I think things are in my control, I can go off of my own way. So, you know, that was a thankful thing that the Lord awakened me that I am not in control of anything, but he is. And then finally, I don't know if you know what happened to my wife. We had a really great first part of the year, and we were on vacation, and we came home. We had friends from out of town, the Doolittles. Everything was going great. Everybody was at the boardwalk having a great time. And my wife gets assaulted the night she comes home. And she breaks her leg. So that changed our lives drastically. Without my wife there, it was like, now what happens? You know, she runs the house. She takes care of the kids. And but there are lessons to be learned in adversity. And the thing that would bless me the most was her strength through this. I don't know what I would have done, but my wife was very strong through this. She really relied upon you. And it's not easy for her yet. But she's recovering, and she's coming through this looking for all the good that came, not the evil, not the consequences of what happened to her, but the good. And now she's walking. It's been 4.5 months, and she's up and walking, and her prognosis for her recovery is good.
You know, she had to have very severe surgery where she had six pins and a big plate put in her leg. And now she's through therapy. And to see her progress from crutches, from wheelchair to walker to crutches to cane to now walking, that is truly something that a healing power of God. But we pray for her that he heals her spirit because, you know, that's still part of the healing process is the spirit. But what we're thankful for, what came out of all of that, was the outpouring of love, support, just prayers, people calling, people checking up on us. This went on for weeks, months. And without all of that, I don't know how we would have maintained our household. I don't know how to cook. I don't cook very well. We would eat Greek grilled cheese and macaroni cheese every night. But people were bringing meals. People we didn't even know that knew us were bringing meals. People were taking our kids where they needed to be, shuttling them around. People were coming over, offering to clean our yards, clean our house, and we didn't want them to do that because they would have been there forever. But but just the labor of love, the outpouring of the people of Christ, the body of Christ, that was the greatest revelation to us, is that to see the body of Christ empowered and moving to serve somebody who needed to be served. And I know my wife doesn't like to be served. She's a servant. She doesn't want to be served. But I think in the end, the Lord quieted her, humbled her this way so that she could be served. And I think what we learned the most is that, you know, you take it for granted, but the body of Christ is alive and it's powerful and it's strong. And until the day you need them, they're kind of quiet. But when you do need them, just like the Lord, they're always there. And so we're just grateful that this year, we're so thankful that God is alive. We know he's alive because we see it through you and the people of his church, the people of his body. And so we have a lot to be thankful for this year. We're grateful. We're healthy. We're here to serve. We have a wonderful church family. And I wanted to close that with a couple of verses, Jeremiah 29. And this is really a verse that really shows that God is sovereign. It says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." And how difficult it is to find the good when something evil and bad happens to someone you love. But I think you have to, because God is teaching us all a lesson. And we may not know what that lesson is now, but in the end, his sovereign will is going to be done, and it's going to be for his glory, not ours, right? It's going to be for him. So I wanted to read a psalm of praise, Psalm 100. I think we all know it. Maybe if you know it by heart, maybe you can recite it with me. But I'll start, and I'll say, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations."
Thank you very much, Joby. And it is an encouragement as we see Dana growing in strength, and as we see Mildred week by week, knowing the pain that she's in, the difficulties she has, I don't think I've ever seen a frown on Mildred's face, and it is such a joy and a pleasure to see her, and to see all of you, and to look, you know, as Joby was talking about, you know, to see the outpouring of the love of the children, because remember, Jesus has told us that no man has left mother or brother or father or any part of their family that they will not be replaced 100-fold. And here we have, right here among us, in a magnitude growth in the body of children, in the body of God, in the brothers and siblings. So we've had a couple of words of testimony, words of thanks from some of our people, and I'd like to open it up to you guys for a couple of minutes to say, what is it that you are thankful for? How is it that God has blessed you this year? And so we'll just open that up to anyone that may have. Well, I will go ahead and start then. So I'm just so thankful that One of the things I get to do is, on a weekly basis, I get to answer people's questions from the Scriptures, be able to spend time in the Word of God in the 3:30 class, and to bring forth that and see people, sort of new understanding of the Scriptures, and to be encouraged by people like Joe and Mildred, who week after week come and join me in that class, and to be an encouragement. And I'm thankful for them. And I'm thankful for you guys that when I get up here and I lead the songs on Sunday morning, you don't throw me out. But instead, there's love. And we have an encouragement of the body of Jesus Christ. And so, does anyone else like to add anything that they would like to contribute?
Praise God for his faithfulness, and praise him for the ability for the gospel to still go out from America and for our relative safety.
Praise the Lord. Anything else?
I'll add to that. I want to praise God for using us and just all the evidences, the friendships, all the blessings that we see from doing the work of the Lord, just the amount of happiness that we see in other people's lives, the comfort that people are given. I'm really amazed to see just people learning about the Lord, people getting equipped so that they can rely on him. And also just the way that God works in the hearts of the people who do trust in him and make just put him first in their lives. I've seen him do amazing things. I've seen him comfort people who were going through hard times. I've seen him totally turn situations around, protect people. And it's amazing because even in the lives of people that are really going through terrible times, I can still tell them and look them right in the eye and tell them that God is good and that all this will work together for good, that God has a hope, and he's got a plan for it for you. And he always shows us that he's way more good than we think that he is. It's beyond, like it says, he's able to do exceedingly above all that we can ask or think. So he's better than we can even think or imagine.
Our comprehension of God is severely limited. And realistically, adversity comes into everyone's life. The reality of the presence of God is, how do you respond to it? We see adversity comes into the lives of people, and they get angry and they get upset. They want to retaliate at somebody. And then you have other people that adversity comes in their lives, and they say, okay, Lord, you have something to show me. What am I to learn? And I'm not going to get angry and upset, because, in fact, what you see in adversity of people of God is the joy increases and magnifies. And we'll talk a little bit about that in a little bit. Anyone else would like to give a word of praise or testimony of what God has done through them through this year? I know there's so much. Mary.
This year saw our granddaughter and family build their house next door to us and finally move in. And we could see the Lord working through this all way back when we tried to buy the land next to our house. Then the lady wouldn't sell us just part of it. And finally, we had an opportunity to buy the whole thing or give up on the idea. And we bought the whole thing all the way to the corner. Gave us, over a third of an acre. They're right in town. And we took care of it all these years. Mm-hmm. But the Lord knew that land would be a place for our family to live someday. And our granddaughter who grew up in Oregon, we never got to see our grandchildren much. She moves down here and lives down here now. We can watch our great-grandchildren growing up right next door. So we just praise the Lord for what he's done.
Praise the Lord for that, yeah. So the Lord always knows what we need. He knows what's coming up. And so he opens doors, and sometimes we look at the doors and we have no clue why to go through it. Because it doesn't make sense sometimes. But you just do. And then maybe 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years down the road, you say, ah, that's why that happened. And so the Lord always is working in the lives of his people to bring honor and glory to his name. I had another one over here. Yes.
For my family, and through everything that we've gone through the years, as far as losing people, sometimes we say, like Jovi was saying, we'll leave it in God's hands, but we sometimes aren't really meaning saying that we're leaving it in his hands. But I've learned this year that it's really up to him, and he actually has given me a lot of peace within myself, with even through those hard times. But he answers, and it is unbelievable when we say, you know, God is good, and he is there for us, and we are so thankful for the blessings that we have, for my husband, my girls, and my family, and our church family. I love them very much, and they're very supportive in every way with our pastor and everything. And I am very, very thankful and grateful for them.
The Lord always provides, and it's just incredible. Got time for probably one more, if anyone's...
Praise the Lord for our property. Good. New property.
We've got a new property. We've got a new church moving and going into the works and progress. And so, again, we are looking for you guys' input on the 9th on some future aspects of that. And so let us turn to Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to be looking at some text there, but I wanted to talk a little bit about Thanksgiving in general. And so tomorrow is Thursday, fourth Thursday of November, and it is a day that has been set aside as a day of national Thanksgiving every year since 1942. In 1939, 1940, and 1941, it was moved up to the third week. And the reasons for that was, well, to increase the holiday shopping time. That's what it was. But see, history records the first American Thanksgiving in 1621. And periodically and independently until 1771, Thanksgiving days occurred. Rhode Island would have theirs one time, and Maine another time, and Maryland, and, you know, just scattered them all throughout. But in 1777, all of the colonies celebrated Thanksgiving at the same time. So it was the first time that a president, and then the first time that an official declaration was made was by President Washington in 1789. Prior to that, it was just sporadic. And it was still somewhat sporadic and off and on, but it would still occur. And in 1863, President Abraham Lincoln proclaimed the last Thursday in November as a special day of Thanksgiving. And so basically followed that pattern up until 1939 for 3 years, and then it went back by decree of law. And so Americans have been celebrating Thanksgiving for many years. And so what is it that we do, or what is it we think of when we think of Thanksgiving? Because a lot of times, if we look back at the Pilgrims' Thanksgiving and we look at what Thanksgiving is today, are they the same? They're a lot different. In fact, if we were to define and declare, well, what is Thanksgiving today? I think we would probably say that Thanksgiving is defined by turkey, by mashed potatoes, by yams, by mashed potatoes, by pumpkin pie, by mashed potatoes, by cranberry sauce, by mashed potatoes, football.
Amen.
We'll pray. Mashed potatoes, of course. And of course, football. And we can't forget mashed potatoes. My wife likes mashed potatoes, by the way. So she was looking at this and, you got it right. And one of the other things that defines Thanksgiving is the beginning of the Christmas shopping season. I think more people look forward to Thanksgiving because, man, the day after Thanksgiving, shopping begins. But at the same time, they look at it and say, yeah, but so do the bills. But of course, Thanksgiving is nothing without mashed potatoes. And so is this what we are to be thankful for? foot food and football, shopping. And is this how we are to give and to demonstrate our thanks? By food and football and give in shopping. And so let's look in Ephesians chapter 5 and take a look at what Paul has to tell us. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 21. He says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." So in this nation, in this country, we have set aside one day for a day of thanksgiving, a day to give thanks. And so what I want to look at is focusing in on verse 20 is look at three things about thanksgiving. One is when to give thanks. The second is why give thanks. And the third is to who give thanks. Because without those, it's just shopping day or a fill yourself till you explode day. So the first thing we wanted to look at is a when. So notice what it says in verse 20. Giving thanks when? Always. It's not just once a year. You know, like the high priest. He could only go into the Holy of Holies when? Once a year. But he says, give thanks always. And so let's go over to Philippians chapter 4. And we're going to look at verses 10 to 13. Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 10. And he says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me has flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me." And so we have here an encouragement of being content. Being content regardless. And in fact, I think that our idea of content, which is just, okay, things are status quo, is not what Paul is referring to here. I think he's looking at being rejoiceful and say, yes! I mean, it's as difficult as it is with what the Noriels have gone through. I think they learned quickly to say, praise God, because he will work this out. He will accomplish greatness in this. His name will be magnified. And man, what an honor it is to be a vehicle of God's blessing to many, even in the midst of a difficult and terrible time. So Paul says, "I'm not speaking of want, for I have learned whatsoever state I am to be content." I had a friend who was so content, though, that he never looked for anything better. But see, God is always looking for us to say, I am content with what I have. What the Lord has blessed me with is great. But where can I move forward next? What opportunities are available? Maybe it's a change of career or job. Maybe it's, you know, just settling down with something with the family to just say, we're going to do something different. But we will grow in the Lord because he has called me to be content, but always forward looking. He says, even if I know how to be a base, I know how to have absolutely nothing, I know how to be overabundance. Because when we are a child of God, what do we always have? An abundance of his presence, an abundance of his Spirit, an abundance of the family of God. We have so many things. So the other thing that I want to look at is in the always, is not only being content, but rejoice as true sons. In Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 2, this is page 1313. Hebrews chapter 12 and starting in verse 2. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. You have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chastens not? But if you be without chastisement, wherefore are all our partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. In other words, when difficulties and problems come into your life, do you look at it as a correction from God, as guidance from God, to say, yes, this is a confirmation that I'm a child of God? Or do you look at it as something to be despised and rejected? See, even Jesus looked at the cross. And how many of us would look at the cross and go, yes, Lord, that's me, that's mine. But see, Jesus did. He looked at the cross not as a thing of humiliation and of defeat, but he looked at it as the ultimate sign of success and victory. That was his calling and his work. And he did not despise it. He did not reject it. But instead, he looked at it as a pleasure and an honor. And so must we look at the correction that occurs from God from time to time to remind us that we are true sons. I remember in 96 when I was driving home from work one day, 4:30 in the afternoon. And God decided that was the time to execute some divine correction. See, I was a Sunday Christian. The Bible would be open from 11 to about 11:30 every Sunday and closed outside of that time. But God placed me in a position of a car accident, blacking out in the freeway. As a corrective device saying, you're mine, turn and walk with me. So how do we have to deal with the correction. We have to yield ourselves to it. So in Ephesians chapter 5, he says not only giving thanks always, but he also says, for what? What do we give God thanks for? All things. You mean when I lose a job, I'm to give thanks? Yeah. Because God has something greater for you. When I lose a friend, whether it's through a death or whether it's through an argument, am I to give thanks to God? You betcha. Because God is teaching you something, teaching them something, and he will be honored and glorified as you rejoice in him. One of the things that we can remember about these types of all things, if we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 in verse 13. So no matter what difficulty, what problem is in your lives, always remember this verse, 1 Corinthians 10:13. It says, there is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. See, God never brings or allows a temptation upon us that is more than we can handle. Now, sometimes some of the difficulties and trials I hear of people's lives, and sometimes looking back at my own, the question that we always raise up to God is, God, why can I take so much? But see, God does not give more to us than what is possible for us to handle, if we handle it with him. When we handle it by ourselves, we will be defeated. But you know what? The great thing about being a child of God is that even though we become defeated in that one, he lifts us up and says, let's try this again. And sometimes the same trial may seem come at you over and over and over and over again. And then after a while, it's like, man, that's not even an issue anymore. Because God says, now you've learned to trust in me, to rely upon me. But see, what we do know is there's a limit to the trials. If you look back at Job, the book of Job, what is the one thing that Satan has to do before he can bring temptations and trials upon you, child of God?
Ask the Lord permission.
Yep. He's got to ask God. He's got to get the permission from God to say, can I? And God can say, yeah, you can take it this far, but no more. And sometimes Satan will say, yeah, okay, well, he passed that one, but you made it easy for him. And that's when it starts getting fun. Because God says, okay, let's move the line a little bit more. But see, God is still establishing that line. He knows what you can endure. He knows what you can put up with. Because as a child of God, we look to him. We rest in him and be strengthened by him. And so it's amazing to remember that no matter what trial comes our way, God has placed a boundary on it, and it will not go beyond God's control. And he has called us to rest in him. Now, the other thing that we can look forward to as a reason for rejoicing and praising God in all things, giving him thanks, if we go over to Romans chapter 5, we look at verses 1 through 6. That's on page 1227, Romans chapter 5. He says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation works patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. If we go back up to verse 3 there, it says, not only so, but we glory in tribulations. We glory in the difficulties of life. Because as those difficulties come in our life, what happens? As a child of God, it does not push us away from God, but it pushes us to God. The more we endure those tribulations, the more we work them out, the closer do we get to God. And the closer we get to God, the more we can trust him, because we see that he has brought us through time and time again. He has lifted us up, and he has encouraged us, and he has enabled us each time. And he says, in all these things, we gain in hope. Now, what is the greatest hope of a child of God? Eternal life. You see, God has not left us here to our own devices, but he has given us the hope to look forward, to look through all difficulties, and to see life through it. To know that no matter what trial, what problem comes our way, there is a glorious end to it. Because no matter how it ends, we are always going to be in the mighty hands of God. And for that, we can praise him and give him thanks, no matter what the difficulty is. And as we look at verse 5 again, not only do we give thanks always, but for all things, but it also tells us who to give thanks to. Give thanks to God. See, a lot of people, sometimes it seems like they give thanks to their company. They give thanks to the government. They give thanks to their families. But how many people really give thanks to God? So it says to give thanks to God, who is our Father. So if we go over to 1 Timothy in chapter 2. That's on 1292. 1 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 5. Scripture says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. It says, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. in like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. And so the Lord has given us the encouragement that we have this one God and one mediator between God and man. See, so many people try to put in another mediator. Well, in order to get to Jesus Christ, you must go to this person. No, we go right to the Father through the Son. We don't need anyone else on the sidelines. We don't need someone else between us and God. We have Jesus Christ, the high priest. We need no other. And that's a gift of God. One mediator who gave himself for us. He offered up himself by his own will and his own desire. Now Ephesians chapter 5 not only says, in that verse 20, not only says giving thanks unto God and the Father, but he says in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there we also have the how. How do we give thanks in the name of Jesus? It's so sad as we listen to some of the things that's happening in our political arena, and they'll let you pray in anybody's name, but don't you dare pray in the name of Jesus. Who else? What other name are you going to pray in? So if we go to Acts chapter 4, verses 10 through 12, Peter is talking, and he says, this is page 1184, Acts chapter 4. Starting in verse 10. It says, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Plain and simple. No other name whereby we may be saved. In fact, where we must be saved. You try to come in the name of Mary, not going to make it. Try to come in the name of Muhammad, it's not going to make it. You come in any other name but Jesus Christ, and you will fall flat on your face. Because this is the only name. And what a blessing it is that we understand that name. We have been given that name, and it's been planted within us by the might and the power of God that we may know him. And so we come to God, we come to the Father in the name of Jesus Christ. Because I don't know about you, but if my son asked me for something, there's a bit different chance, a better chance of him getting it often than to someone else's son that I don't even know who they are. So we come and we ask in the name of Jesus. We ask in the name of the Son of God. And God hears our requests and he hears our prayers. And he answers. So I just want to wrap this concept up with Colossians 3:15. It says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. And that's what we have been called to do. Let's pray for closing hymn. Father, we thank you for your divine presence and for your holiness, for your righteousness, for the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, for the gift of salvation, for the hope and joy that we have in you. Strengthen us, Father, that we might walk in you, that we might give thanks to you always for all things in the name of Jesus Christ, who has sacrificed himself for us. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing the first and the last of number 269. Thank you, Father, for creating us and redeeming us, for giving us a new life, a new character, for giving us a new family, that we are part of your body and not our own. And I pray, O Lord, for you to bless us this week and especially tomorrow as we gather together to praise your name, that you truly will be the center and the focus. And Father, I thank you for the food that is prepared for us here today, that your name would be praised and your name honored, that you would use it to strengthen us and to guide us day by day, moment by moment, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
So we have plenty of food in the back, and you are welcome to join us.